There is no substitute for the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Each weekday on Enjoying the Journey, Scott Pauley leads us in a brief study of Scripture. Today, on the Weekend Pulpit, we are happy to share a full-length Bible message given through Scott's pulpit ministry. These messages were recorded live in a local church or gospel event in recent days. It is our prayer that the message will be a help to you today.
Let's open our Bibles, if you will, in the Old Testament to the little book of Hosea. Hosea is the first of what is referred to as the minor prophets. And let me hastily tell you, God has no minor messages. Even the minor prophets have major themes. They're called minor not because they are less important. They're called minor because they are smaller in size. How many of you know God can say a whole lot in a short period of time? And the minor prophets are proof of that. And I think it's very appropriate that Hosea is the first of these minor prophets, this section of the Old Testament, because he really stands out head and shoulders above the rest based on his theme. I mean by that, we know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We need it all. But Hosea's theme, and I love this, is the love of God. And let me just tell you, there's nothing like the love of God and the God who is love. And so Hosea brings us to the Lord, nearer to God. I think it was Vance Havner that used to say that revival is one thing. It's God's people falling in love with Jesus all over again. I like that. And when you come to the book of Hosea, you see not only God's love for you, you see your lack of love for Him. As a matter of fact, your lack of love stands out much more when it is compared to the unsearchable, unchangeable love of Christ for you. And so it is, if you might say it this way, a window that shows you God, but it's a mirror that shows you you. And I will tell you, when you start looking in the mirror and you see yourself like God sees you, it can be very, very painful. You ever get up in the morning, look in the mirror and think, my soul, what happened in the night? You know what I'm talking about? Well, the truth of the matter is, sometimes spiritually you look in the mirror and you think, I think I've been asleep. I think I've missed something. Something's happened to me here. Something's changed and not like it ought to be. So the Lord brings us face to face with God and face to face with ourselves. It is an amazing book of the Bible. And its style is, if I might say it this way, a very emotional one. And the reason it's so emotional is because it's deeply personal to Hosea. As a matter of fact, probably none of the prophets had more heartache to deal with than Hosea did. Hosea's wife became an adulteress. She literally became a prostitute. She was unfaithful to him, and it broke his heart. And it was a picture, of course, of the unfaithfulness of Israel to God. God let the preacher feel a little bit of the divine emotion, if you will, so that when he spoke, he could speak not just from his head, but he could speak from his heart. And so this is, though it's a joyful book when you think of the love of God, it is also a book of brokenness. And might I just say before we begin our study this morning, that's where God always begins, by breaking us, by bringing us to the end of ourselves. And here's the glorious truth. The end of you is the beginning of Him. When you finally get to the place where you realize how desperately you need God, all of heaven applauds. And the Lord says, wonderful, I've been trying to get you there for a long, long time. So let's begin where God begins. I talked all this time trying to give you time to find Hosea, because we don't go there often, do we? It's the part of your Bible where the pages still stick together, correct? How many of you notice that the pages are fairly white in this section of your Bible? Not lots of things marked. I hope that'll change when this meeting's done. Look at Hosea chapter 1, verse number 1. What a great way to begin. The word of the Lord. Would you mark that in your Bible? This is not the word of Hosea. This is not the word of the guest evangelist. This is not the word of your pastor. No, no. This is the word of the Lord. If I might say this to you, I'm not really the preacher this week. I'm not the preacher. Sorry to disappoint, I'm not the preacher. I just work for the preacher. The preacher is the Lord himself. See, God may have many tributaries, but he's always the source. He might have many messengers, and every voice is a little different. But the word they're delivering, if they're faithful messengers, is the word of the living God. It flows from the fountain of God himself. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And then notice these words. I'm starting here where God begins. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. I said to you already, his family situation was really an object lesson of the condition of the nation of Israel and their relation to the God who loved them perfectly. We might say it this way, Hosea's wife pictured Israel, and Hosea is going to picture the faithful husband, the Lord, who never fails and never forsakes and never forgets. Aren't you glad we have that kind of a God? But I want you to mark two words in your Bible. I want you to mark these two words in verse 2, the beginning. I mean, I say to you that the difficult thing is not God speaking. The difficult thing is getting us ready to listen. The difficult thing is not God accomplishing all he wants to accomplish. The difficult thing is the beginning of that. In other words, it's getting us to the place where we are actually in tune enough with heaven to hear what it is God has to say to us, and our hearts are humble enough and willing enough to respond to that and to obey. I was with a man this week in another state who is a faithful preacher. He's up in years, and he really is a man who emphasizes in his ministry prayer. That's by and large his great message to every church he goes into, trying to call people back to really seeking the Lord, which I think is vital. And we were having a private conversation, and he said to me, you know, Scott, the difficult thing is not having revival. The Lord can do that in a moment. He said, the difficult thing is getting people ready to even seek the Lord. In fact, even prayer itself is not the hard thing. No, we know how to pray. How many of you know how to talk? Would you raise your hand? Then you know how to pray. Because prayer is just talking to God. It's heavenward conversation. The difficult thing, if I might use an expression the old timers used to use, is getting us on praying ground. It's getting us to the place where we're willing to do what God wants to do. I was reading a man earlier this week, maybe last week, and he made this statement. It just stuck in my mind. He said, God is willing, but we are not ready. I think that's the real problem. It's not, does the Lord want to work? I will tell you emphatically on the authority of the Word of God, God desires to do a mighty work in all of us this week. He desires to work in our country in a mighty way. The issue is this, are we ready for God to change whatever God needs to change in us? As a matter of fact, sometimes when people talk about revival, they talk about it like they want the Lord to simply leave everything the same. I think sometimes the motive is this, Lord, we want revival because we want our beloved America to stay like it's always been. May I just tell you something? When real revival comes, things don't stay the same. Everything changes. I picked up your bulletin this morning. Your pastor had no idea what I was speaking on this week, and I had no idea what he was putting in your bulletin today, but I just picked it up, was reading through it, and he gave a little article here by James Packer, and I came to this last paragraph, and I read it, and it jumped off the page at me. Packer wrote, finally, the Spirit works fast. I don't know if I've ever heard it said quite that way before, but you know, when the Holy Spirit is on the move, he can get more done in a moment than you can in a lifetime. What is salvation? The instantaneous work of God, right? When does the call come? An instantaneous voice from heaven. The wind bloweth where it listeth. I mean, just out of nowhere, God shows up. Isn't that glorious? So look at it. The Spirit works fast. Godliness multiplies. Christians mature. Converts appear. He said, Paul was at Thessalonica for less than 3 weeks. But God worked quickly, and Paul left a viral church behind him. I think amen to all of that, and that's what we want to see. But might I say this, though the Spirit works quickly, the process of getting us to where God can do what he wants to do in us sometimes is the great delay. The delay is on our part. Israel, by and large, when Hosea was writing to them, were a nation of farmers. They understood something about farming. I grew up on a farm in the hills of West Virginia, and one of the things Grandpa taught us early on was you don't just throw seed haphazardly. You better prep the ground. You better get the ground ready. And it is the prophet Hosea who will write in this book, you're going to read it this week, who will write in this book, break up your fallow ground. What did he mean by that? It's time to till the soil. It's time to get heart ready to receive the word of God. Listen to me, church. If I stand up here for the next 3 days and just give you truth, give you truth, give you truth, give you truth, but our hearts are not ready to receive it and we're not in tune with God, then I'm wasting my breath and you're wasting your time. I'm not here to just have another meeting or because I needed some place to go, wanted to be away from home this week, because that's certainly not the case. I'm here because I want to hear from heaven. How many of you want to hear from heaven? So we got to get to the place where we're ready for God to speak to us. And I wonder, are you really ready for God to speak to you? I'm going to ask you to do something this week. In every meeting, I'm going to ask you to write some things down. I didn't ask your pastor. Maybe you're in the habit of doing this already. Maybe you're not. But I'm going to ask everybody to do it, not because I think my sermons are something, but because I'm going to try to give you some things that I'm praying you'll go home and meditate on long after this meeting's over. So I want you to get something to write with and something to write on right now, if you would, please. You can use the back of that bulletin. I know they've given you a place for that. And if you need to borrow a pen or pencil, find something to write with. I'm really serious. I want you to write it down. And we husbands, we're notorious for nudging our wives and saying, you take notes for both of us. But that's not what I want you to do. I want you to be your own secretary today and write some things down, because I'm praying God really speak to us. I had a teacher years ago that said a short pencil is better than a long memory. I like that. And there are lots of good things God says to us, and then we're not ready to receive them, not ready to remember them. Across the top of your paper, I want you to write this little expression, if you will, because this is where we're going to begin. This is the beginning of the word of the Lord. Look at verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. Notice how God connects the Lord and Hosea. Now, he's going to deal with a whole nation. He's got a word to all of Israel, but listen to me. He doesn't begin by speaking to the nation. He begins by speaking to an individual. You see, national movement always begins with a personal message. How many of you would love God to straighten America out? Amen to that? Matter of fact, we even pray that way, don't we? We say, dear Lord, would you please fix Washington? That's a big prayer, let me just tell you. Or we pray for our neighbors across the street or people across town or somebody involved in something they really ought not be in. But listen to me, judgment must begin at the house of God. The old spiritual had it right. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So here's the expression I want you to write across the top of your paper. It is this: God's message to me. God's message to me. Matter of fact, the first two letters of the word message are the little word me. And I say to you, God's messages are always personal. They're always specific. They're not general, generic things where we just hear some nice little sermon, get a tingle up our spine and say, well, that was nice to be in church today. No. God in heaven zeroes in to your heart. When we come to the book of Hosea, God's got a message for all of Israel. As a matter of fact, he's got a message for Hosea. He's got a message for Hosea's wife. He's got a message for Hosea's children. He's got a message for all of the neighboring nations that are observing it. But when I come to the book of Hosea, hear me now, I am concerned about this. What is God's message to me in this book of the Bible? You see, I'm not part of the nation of Israel. The church and Israel are two different things. And I know people, I actually have heard people say, well, you know, this is in the Old Testament. This was to Israel. This is not for us. Listen to me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Everything may not have been written to you, but everything was written for you. There is some message in the book of Hosea that God has for this local church. There's some message in the book of Hosea God has for your family. There's some message in the book of Hosea God has for my life and for your life. And I, for one, am interested in finding out, what does God want to say to me? And I want to just pause right now and say to the Lord the prayer of Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. How about the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119? Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You see, the God of ancient history is the God of modern events, is the God of my individual life. And God's message in Hosea is not just national. It is deeply personal. It is God's message to me. So let me give you some simple truths to write down. They all come from these few verses. Number one, I want you to write this down. This is most basic. Let's just start with the most obvious. Number one, God speaks. Truth of the matter is, some people don't even think God speaks anymore. They think his voice is silent. I want to submit to you, God has never stopped speaking. We have stopped listening. You hear the music in this room right now? Everybody listen real careful. Be real quiet and still and listen. Do you hear the music? And somebody's going to say, preacher, you're losing your mind. You're hearing things. Oh, no, it's here. It's here at this moment. And if you bring a radio to this platform and let me start to tune the dial a little bit, immediately somebody would say, oh, we know that station. We listen to that in the car. Or we recognize that voice. Or, yes, I know that song. That's familiar to me. Hear me, please. The music was here all along, but you had to get something on the frequency to receive it. And I am convinced the same God who said light and there was light and it was very good, the same God who spoke the whole world into existence, is the same God who's speaking at this present hour, and there are very few people who are truly in tune with the Lord to receive what God's having to say. This morning I was reading a little book, not in preparation to preach, but just for my own soul, a book I've been carrying in my briefcase for the last few days by F.B. Meyer, a tremendous little book. And the chapter I came to today without connecting it to the message that I was preaching today, I realized immediately it connected to this truth because Meyer used this expression. He talked about the senses of the soul. He said, you know, in our body we have five senses. We hear and we taste and we smell and all the way through the senses of our body. He said, but did it ever dawn on you that God has given you senses in your soul? And sometimes we get so dull in our spiritual senses that we can be as close as our very breath to what God is trying to do, but we miss what God is saying to us. Let me tell you one of the things that happens in a real revival. People get sensitive to God again. Frankly, we've got way too many people in our world today who are insensitive to the needs of others. Can I get an amen there? And we got way too many people, even in churches today, who are overly sensitive to their own needs and offenses. Amen to that. Well, let me tell you why both of those are true, because we don't have enough people who are sensitive to God. See, when you get sensitive to the Spirit of God, you get in tune with heaven, you get walking in the Spirit, and we'll tell you what happens. You begin to see others and yourself like God sees you, and friend, that changes everything. We need God to speak. And we're coming back to Hosea chapter 1, but go with me to the New Testament just a minute. Let me show you a couple verses. Stop off with me in the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Lest you think this is an Old Testament truth that the Word of the Lord comes. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. In the New Testament, here's the way the book of Hebrews, this book of better things, begins. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, would you notice, please, there's not a period at the end of verse 1 because he's just laying the foundation. He's not through. See, we speak too much like God is in the past tense. I want to tell you, our God is not a past tense God. He's a present tense God. The God who spake in time past speaks today. Look at verse number 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. What's he saying? He's saying the same one who spoke in the beginning is speaking to us in these last days. Isn't that beautiful? By the way, do you know what a revival is? A revival is a new beginning. It's a new beginning of obedience to God. And I love this. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. The same God who could speak one word and begin the entire world and set it all into existence could speak one word to our hearts this week if we were ready to receive it and give every one of us a fresh beginning, a fresh start with him. You want a new beginning? Then you must get in tune with the God who speaks to us by his Son. By the way, what was one of the titles for the Lord Jesus? He is the Word made flesh. He is the very Word of the living God. God speaks. While you're in the New Testament, before we go back, turn over a few pages to 2 Peter with me for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter gives a little testimony. Now think about this. Peter was one of the few who actually heard God speak. I'm talking about audibly, not just physically the Lord Jesus speaking while he was on earth, the God-man, but he literally heard God speak from heaven. If I said to you, at 1 o'clock this afternoon in this auditorium, God's going to speak audibly from heaven, how many of you would come? You wouldn't just come. You'd fight for the front seat. You'd call all your friends and neighbors. God's going to speak today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Remember the word from heaven? This is my beloved son. Hear him. God spoke. Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. If I didn't know that was in the Bible, I would think that was blasphemous. That there's something more sure than a word from heaven? Oh, yes, look at it. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. What is that more sure word? Look at verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Everybody look up here just a second. What am I holding in my hand right now? What is this? Right, it's the Bible, that's right. Bible means book or roll, but let's get more definite and specific about it. The Bible is what? What is this? This is the very word of the living God. How does God speak? Peter said, I want you to know I was there when God spoke audibly from heaven, but you got something better than that. How could this be better than God speaking from heaven? You ready for this? Because God spoke in a moment, but just for that moment to them audibly. But watch, God continues to speak in every generation through this book. God spoke to a handful of men. Peter, James, and John were the only ones on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. But aren't you glad God's made a way so he can speak to every one of us through his word? Watch this, please. This is the eternal word of God. And every time we open the word, we are to hear the voice. We might say it this way. Look at verse number 21 here. The Holy Ghost moved these men to write down, to speak. He moved Hosea. He gave Hosea the words. And I love this. When you start reading the book, the author speaks up. How many of you are saved? Would you raise your hand? You're saved. You know the Lord. That means the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So when you open the Word of God, you should come expectantly saying, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to me through the Word of God today. Let me tell you what I have found in preaching across our country in churches week after week, that one of the absolute curses of today's churches is this: low expectations. We have a meeting to have a meeting. It's time to have a fall revival or a spring meeting or whatever the case may be. But there's really very little low expectation, very little expectation that God's going to show up and speak up. And I want to tell you something. Until we start believing that God speaks, you're not going to hear his voice. Go back with me to Hosea chapter 1. Let me give you a second principle. The word of the Lord came. Number one, God speaks. Number two, I want you to write down that God speaks right where we are. I love this truth. See, every word that's given in this portion of Scripture has significance. It's all important. Notice when God spoke. He spoke to Hosea in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. You write this in the margin of your Bible. Just write 2 Kings 15 and 16. If you want to get a little context to the text, go back, not while I'm speaking right now, but on your own time this afternoon. Go back and read 2 Kings 15 and 16. I did that again yesterday, just kind of perused through it again. Let me tell you what these days were. These were wicked days. Now, there were a couple of these kings that were good kings, but many of them were evil kings, and the nation was in pitiful shape. Look, they had political problems, they had economic problems, they had military problems, and their biggest problem was they had spiritual problems. They were not where they needed to be with God. Now, here's the beautiful truth. What a God of mercy we serve. God did not wait until they straightened all their junk out to speak. God spoke to them right in the midst of where they were. You know, sometimes what we think, if I can get my life straightened out, if I can get my family ordered, if I can get this circumstance changed, if I can get this worked out, then maybe God will be able to work. Listen to me. God doesn't work when you fix everything. God is the God who delights in stepping into the middle of your mess to do what only God can do. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I don't know about you, that does not sound encouraging to me. And the very next phrase says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was very good. Anywhere there is emptiness, disorder, and chaos, and darkness, God says, if you'll just let me speak, and you'll listen to what I have to say, I'll change everything through the power of my word. So God works on us and speaks to us right where we are. Well, it's true nationally, it's true personally. I'm speaking to people in this room right now I do not know. I know a handful of people in this room, and I certainly do not know your spiritual needs. But I'm going to tell you, I have a deep, abiding conviction in the power of the Word of God. Pastor, one of the things that has helped me so much traveling week after week in different places is my conviction in the sufficiency of Scripture has grown. See, my sermons are not what's going to change anybody's life, but the Word of God that lives and abides forever, now that will change your life forever. Because watch this, God's Word is always practical, it is always applicable, it is always relative because truth endures to all generations. This is not some ancient, dusty, crusty thing. God is the great I Am, He's right where we are, and He wants to speak to us right where we are. So whatever your need is, I want to tell you, with confidence in the Lord, God wants to speak right where you are. Number one, God speaks. Number two, He speaks right where we are. Number three, God speaks through His messengers. Look at verse number two. It says, the beginning of the word of the Lord. Now mark this in your Bible, by Hosea. Now remember, it's God's message, but He has a messenger. May I just give you a practical word here, and it is this. Don't ever get so distracted by the messenger that you miss the message. Frankly, let's just be honest for a minute. We all have preachers that are our favorite and some that are not. That was not the right place to say amen. No, I'm kidding you. It's just true, isn't it? Sure it is. By the way, your pastor ought to be one of your favorite preachers. And all God's church members said, well, that was a good amen. That's good. I like that. The truth of the matter is, there are all kinds of preachers and styles and tell you what I've had to learn. I've had to learn that when I come to the Word of God, I must lay aside all of my prejudice, all of my preconceived ideas, and I must get beyond that man to the God who sent the man. He's just the ambassador. I want to hear from the King. And I must say to the Lord, now, Lord, I want to hear whatever it is You want to say to my heart. Don't let me get distracted. Lord, lay aside every distraction. Lay aside every detour. Anything that would hinder the work of the Spirit of God. Look, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want God to have liberty. Do you want God to have liberty? Then say to the Lord, Lord, whatever messenger You want to choose, use that messenger. In my own personal experience, I've been amazed at how God speaks to me. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky or mystical. I'm just telling you, God knows right where you are, and God knows how to connect you with what you need to hear at that moment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I've had strangers say something to me. They didn't even know what they were talking about in my life, but God was sending me a message. You ever have that happen? I've had somebody just quote a Bible verse. Even the verse you read this morning from the Psalms, I don't know, the Lord prompted you to read it, but even a verse that you read in the Psalms this morning ministered to me before I got up to speak. God knew I needed to hear that verse. I'm saying, if you'll get open, God will give you His message. But you got to get past all the peripheral things, break up your fallow ground, and say, Lord, whatever messenger You want to use, I'm open to that. Let me just show you this. Turn to the end of the book for a second. I'm talking about the end of the book of Hosea. Come to Hosea chapter 12. And look at verse 13. He repeats so many of these truths, but look at Hosea 12, verse 13. He's speaking to Israel, remember, and he says, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. Stop just a second. Who was the prophet God used to bring Israel out of Egypt? What was his name? Moses, right. So it's a reference to their beginning coming out of Egypt and Moses, their prophet. But now look at the end of verse 13. And by a prophet was he preserved. And I would say to you, wonder what prophet he's referring to here. Was he referring to Moses in the wilderness wanderings, continuing to preach faithfully the word of God? Perhaps. Or was it a reference to other prophets that came later? Here's what I love. He doesn't give the name of any of the prophets, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it's never about the preacher. It's always about the God who sent him. Here's the point. He said it was through a preacher, through God's servant, through the Lord's messenger that you were delivered, and it is through the Lord's message and messenger that you will be preserved. I love that, don't you? We don't just need God to speak to us early on. We need it all the way through. And I must say this before I go any further. Sometimes the most difficult people to communicate with are people who've been in church all of their lives. As a matter of fact, I'd take a congregation of brand new believers who know very little about the Bible but are interested and hungry any day over a church absolutely packed with people who've been saved for 50 years and have heard it all 1,000 times and have lost interest in it. Do you know who some of the most arrogant human beings on earth are? People who always win Bible trivia every time. You know, you announce a text and they say, oh, we know that passage. Boy, Pastor, you've preached that 12 times. Oh, we know that Bible story. It's almost like, I got that. Friend, number one, we probably don't have it if we think we do. And number two, the fact that you know it is not the same as the fact that you're doing it. There's a world of difference between the hearers and the doers. The old Chinese proverb said, too much talky-talky, none of walky-walky. I think they're right, don't you? So what are we doing with what God is saying to us? Go back with me to Hosea chapter 1. Number one, God speaks. Number two, God speaks right where we are. Number three, God speaks to his preachers. And then number four, we've come full circle back to the whole point I'm making at the very beginning. God speaks in a personal way. He knows your name. He knows your need. Is every hair on your head numbered? He knows you better than you know you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Read the rest of that passage in the prophet. The next verse says, I, the Lord. God answers his own question. The person who knows your heart is the Lord. Jesus said, I don't need anybody to testify what is in man. I know what is in man. God knows what you need. And by the way, God has a step for you to take. Are you willing to take it? When I preach to young people in camp meetings, I always take the first night and make the same emphasis. I may preach from any number of texts, but I always make the same emphasis on the first night because I've learned that the first night is the most important, and here's why. If in the first night God will speak and they will listen, there is no end to what God can do in that week. But if you've got to wait till the last night for the Lord to break through, then we're going to miss a lot God wanted to say to us. Trying to see something set in motion. You ever line up a bunch of dominoes, knock the first one down, and watch the chain reaction? That's what we're praying for. So the first night in every camp meeting to young people, I always give this appeal. Would you make a decision in the opening meeting that whatever God says to me this week, the answer is already yes? Somebody says, but I don't know what the Lord's going to say. That's the whole point. You don't wait until God speaks. You say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to speak to me, and I'm willing to obey whatever you want to say to my heart. See, the real question here is not whether God's going to speak. The question is whether we're going to hear and what we're going to do about it. Let's end with the last verse of the book, shall we? Go with me to the last chapter and the last verse in the little book of Hosea. It's Hosea chapter 14 and verse number 9. You see, it got real personal for Hosea, real personal. And God's about to get real personal with all of us. You ready for God to get personal with you? Look at Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. The word that haunts me is the first word, who? Who? Will it be this preacher? Did you know it's possible that God could speak this week and the preacher misses him? You say, that's impossible. Oh, no, it is. It is possible. It's possible to be in a meeting and go through the motions and mechanics and miss the Lord who's trying to speak himself to me. I'm testifying, not preaching now. I want God to speak to me. I want to get in on that. I want to be one of the who here. And how about you? Will you allow the Lord to speak to you? No wonder Jesus said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. No wonder the closing book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ says, He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Why? Because God's speaking. And God's speaking right where you are. And God is speaking exactly what you need. And the question is, who is wise? Mark three words in verse 9. Mark the word understand, the word know, and the word walk. Do you see the divine progression here? He gives a spiritual understanding. Okay, I understand that. Then he says, know it. What does that mean? It means to know intimately, to know deeply, to make that your own, to believe it. And then what's the third word? Walk. And here's where it starts working its way out in your life every day. I do wonder. I really do wonder who is wise among us. And I do wonder, 3 days from now, when we conclude this meeting and we finish our study in the little book of Hosea, I wonder whose life will be changed, whose family will be better, who will be a greater witness for Christ, who will know the Lord more, who will be stronger in prayer, more in love with Jesus. Who? I can answer that question. It's the person who's open and willing for God to speak to them.
If this Bible message has been used of God in your life, or we can pray for you in some definite way, please contact us at enjoyingthejourney.org. We hope you will share the message with others who may also be encouraged by it. For additional full-length Bible messages, please visit Dr. Scott Pauley's YouTube channel. Tomorrow is the Lord's Day, and we want to encourage you to be faithful to attend a Bible preaching church in your area this Sunday. Thank you for listening to The Weekend Pulpit. And don't miss Enjoying the Journey Daily Devotional Podcast each Monday through Friday.